So I know you're going to keep praying. This is a church that's together and prays for one another, and we're looking to see what the Lord does. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about the reason we live. I've had various people talk to me about vision, about goals, and then kind of talking about that today. I was talking to my friend Pete Mayer about it. He's our overseer. He used to pastor here. He says, I know what your goal is. Oh, Sunday school. Yeah, I think it's time for you guys to leave. Oops. Hey, Joe, I even highlighted it. Thank you. What's my motto? If you can't laugh at yourself, you miss a lot of good jokes. Anyway, so Pete said, you know, your goal has been the same since I've known you. And I'm going to go out of context. Don't put the slide up yet. My goal for myself in this church is to love Christ, to live Christ, and to share Christ. But the reason we live, I want to look at Matthew 7, 24 through 27, where Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I'm a foundation builder. That's my gifting. I'm going to give you Jesus. I can give it to you simply and repeatedly. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Lord, we're coming with you right now. Let us not be foolish. Let us not build our lives, our foundations, on what society dictates to us. Let us not build our lives on our opinions and feelings, but let us build our lives on your holy word. I love the fact that though people keep trying, not one jot or tittle of your word has ever been disproven. I love the fact that as they try to disprove it, they keep finding out how true it is. Lord, let us build our lives on your word. Yes, we live in a society that more and more promotes me. But Lord, we're not going to do that. We only promote you, Jesus. Let us be wise builders today. In your name, amen. President John F. Kennedy said, efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. As Christians and as a church, what is my purpose? My purpose is to give my life to Jesus. My purpose is to devote my life to live according to God's holy word. He has to be my direction. We're called, I like what Oswald Chambers says, we're not called to save people. We're called to disciple people. That's what we're going to give our lives to. You know, they found out during this pandemic that many, many people have battled depression because they feel like they have no sense of purpose. I was listening to a gentleman speak on the radio the other day, and during the sermon, he was saying a lot of retirees, people my age and older, they have no sense of purpose because their identity is in their jobs. You know, I know many pastors that when they get done and they hand it over, they really battle a depression because their whole identity is wrapped up in what they do. You see, what happens is in our society, I think we get it wrong. When we retire, I have nothing against taking time off and going to a warmer climate. You know, Melody and I moved south. We lived in Copenhagen, now we moved south to Oswego. But I'm not against that. But when I retire, if I retire, and I don't mean that bad, I'm never going to retire from what God calls me to do. We're not called to have a vacation. When you're done with your occupation, God says, good, now you're all mine. You can serve me whatever ways. You know, and one of the things that I'm going to be talking about, I think next week, is like one of the words, the two words God gave this church for this year is humility and service. Well, it's time for us we start serving this community. But anyways, a lot of people, we need purpose. We need to be Jesus. You know, and right now as a church, we've gone through a lot, so we've been a little ingrown. Now it's time to be outgrown, that we're moving forward to fulfill our purpose. In a day when we see turmoil and conflict every day, we need to embrace God's truth that he has called us to live for his purpose. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You can only be satisfied if you engage in the work of the Lord. We live in a society, the whole problem with man and God is we want to be in control. Look at the shenanigans going on in Florida. What's the problem? It's all going back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent said to Eve, did God really say? Well, how are you going to link that? Did God really say you're a boy? Did God really say you're a girl? Did God really? Yes, he did. But we want to be in control. We want to dictate what we do with our lives, when we do it, and who we are. If I went to the government and said, you know what? I am now identifying as a 70-year-old man, so I get all my Social Security. They have no right to say no to me. They have no right to say no to me in the day and age we live in, yet they will. So we do that to God, and we think it's okay. And the more I do research, people that have gone through all these different operations and stuff, guess what? The suicide rate is still up there. And there's so many people wish they hadn't. We enter into a new day, folks, when we need to allow Jesus Christ to direct our steps. What I'm talking about today, we have to love Christ, we have to live Christ, we have to share Christ. What do you mean by loving Christ? I got to give him my life. Salvation isn't saying, Jesus, forgive me. That's not salvation. I used to do that all the time. I'd party in college. I'd do whatever. And in whatever state of being I was in, I'd go to bed and I would pray, God, forgive me, but I'm probably going to do it again tomorrow night. And if I died, I would have gone to hell. We have to repent, which means I have to let go of my life, my old life, and I got to live God's new life. But we have to stop trying to dictate what that new life looks like. We got to allow the Lord to show us. We have to love Christ with everything. You have to be all in for Jesus. Not, I'm going to give him Sundays, and I might give him Sunday night once a month, not twice a month. Then what? You don't love Christ, not fully. We need to live Christ, is what I'm talking about. Is I need to live the way God wants me to live. Not where it's conventional for me, not where it's convenient, but I need to give all in for Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you will not be satisfied. It's kind of like, I like Wegmans. They got two good donuts. So I bought two of them. One for me and one for me. This one was phenomenal. It was cinnamon coated. I mean, it must have been from heaven. Then I had this peanut donut and it was dry. And I said, I just wasted a ton of calories in my life. That's what life is without Jesus Christ. You can get the best job, but you lay your head down at night, there's an emptiness. Oh, you can take all kinds of drugs or food or sex. You can do whatever. You can be richer than rich. But without Jesus Christ and doing him, what he wants you to do, you're not going to be satisfied. And you can come to New Covenant Community Church, you can come to home groups, you can go to Sunday night, but if you're not all in for Jesus Christ, you will not be satisfied, and don't you dare blame him. Yet we do. Today I'm talking about the reason we live. Point number one, faith in Jesus moves us to relinquish control. My wife isn't a big television watcher. I think there's one or two shows she watches with me. I like to be in charge of the remote. I believe the 11th commandment is, man shall control the remote. Now, there's one thing that how God made men. He made us to not tolerate commercials. So nowadays, when I was younger, you would get three commercials, maybe four. So that's between 90 minutes and 120. Now you get like seven of the stupid things. So the show will stop, the commercial comes on. I can watch part of a baseball game, part of a hockey game, and part of a basketball game within those 4 minutes and go back. And Mel sometimes says, do you even know what you're watching? I thought, how can you not? But that's how I'm programmed. I'm in charge of the remote. Boom, boom, boom. I can check it out. I'm good to go. That's why she doesn't watch TV. She gets seasick when I got the remote. But you know what? That's our problem. That's my problem. That's your problem. You want to be in control. God says, no, I don't want you in control. I want to be in control. Narcissism has crept into the American church. What is that? It's an excessive interest in or admiration of yourself and your appearance. It's self-centeredness. I like the fact that I've gotten older. When you're younger, you care way too much of what you look. When you get older, is it clean and is it not wrinkled? And do they match? And you're good to go. We need to be like that as Christians. You know, our society tells us it's all about you. What do you think? What do you want to do? How do I fit my life and how can I navigate the Bible in a way that I can do what I want? Yet the word, I can't, comes into play. Is Jesus your Lord or is he just your Savior? You see, it's God's plan that we look to him. It's Satan's plan that we look to ourselves. He wants us to think we are so important. You know, when you go to spend money, you pray first, Lord, do you want me to do this? How do you spend your time? I'm not talking about every little second, but God, what do you want me to do? What does the Bible say? The rich guy, hey, I got to build a bigger barn. And God says, you fool, today you're going to die. Tomorrow doesn't matter. When I'm on my deathbed, it's not going to matter how many cars I had, how many houses I had, who won this game and who didn't. You know, it's like, it's funny what's important to us. I mean, sometimes I got to explain to my wife, especially if, like, if your team's in the World Series or their NHL finals and they get beat, life stinks. You don't want to talk. You just want to mope. And if you're not a sports fan, you can't understand that. But life crumbles when Christ isn't at the center. You know what I know moving forward? I'm going to be stretched. And I'm going to be uncomfortable. And I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes. But the fact is, you can never anticipate what your life is going to look like. What's going to come. You got to stay close to Jesus. Because you're going to have to do stuff you don't want to do. It's not going to come when it's convenient. You can't say, oh, I know it's going to happen. Because if you do, please write it down and give it to me. And when it doesn't happen, I will laugh. Because God doesn't do life according to your plans. But when Jesus is our foundation, we withstand storms of life. Not to embarrass anybody, I love Randy and Kate Ziegler and Sharon's faith in Jesus Christ through this time of pain. But their son, Jesus holds us fast. I want to say one thing. As we witness the decay of our world, we need to understand one thing. Politically, I know some of you get upset. We see the racial divide, the political divide, the pandemic and all the feelings that are about that. My gosh. We like to complain. Who are you telling Jesus about? You know, there's a lot of people I've been reading and hearing on the radio, end times, and this is happening. Yeah, the Bible tells us to be ready. But if you're really an end time person, you know what that's doing? That's moving you every day to get up, and you can't wait to bust out that door and tell people about Jesus. Barna did a survey. And in the last 20 years, so much of our society really does not like evangelical Christians. They don't want to tolerate them anymore. Why is that? Because they link us to politics. And that's wrong. You see, we're part of God's plan. And the thing is, as I see our country in turmoil, can I say something? I believe a revival's coming, but it's not going to get any better. We're not going to see all of a sudden the Democrats and Republicans, the right and the left, come together to have Bill sing a song around a campfire and we sing Kumbaya and hold hands and have s'mores. That's not going to happen. What did Jesus say? They will hate you because of me. But as we see this world going to hell in a handbasket, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. But that makes me uncomfortable. Good. That's where faith comes in. We're part of God's plan. We all know this verse. Many of us do, I should say. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Through 13. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you despair and anger. No, to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me. When you see life tough, when you watch the news and you get ticked off, call on God. Come and pray, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I don't have mom, but I got these really cool hearing aids. I got Bluetooth, so I can connect them to my phone. I was at my daughter's house a couple months back, and they're playing games, and I'm listening to YouTube music. And I didn't know people were talking to me. See? So they finally get my attention. Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was listening to Neil Young or something. I don't know. See, God doesn't do that. God listens to you. We need to go to God. We need to seek him and find him. We need to seek him with all our heart. You see, faith in Jesus Christ means giving up control. I want to look at Matthew 22, where Jesus talks 34 through 40. It said, hearing that Jesus has silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Pharisees were probably happy because they didn't see eye to eye with the Sadducees, so I'm sure they liked the fact that Jesus put them in their place. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two." My second point is God's favorite. I want to talk about God's favorite commandment. Now, I think this was an innocent question. The scribes had been debating this for years. They had 613 commandments in the law. 248 were good, positive ones. 365 were negative. So many of these experts were divided, and they would argue which commandments were the most important. But they got it wrong, because James 2:10, it's not up there, tells us, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. The Old Testament, the law, points to a need for a Savior. The New Testament reveals that Savior. The Old Testament, the law, shows us you can't get right with God on your own. It's impossible. Jesus paid the price. So with acceptance of Him and alignment with Him and giving Him my life, it's good. Now, loving God isn't just a good feeling. It involves the heart and the will. True love for Jesus means service and obedience. God is addressing this with His church. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not trying to do controversial stuff. You look at people like Hillsong. God is getting after it. I like what this pastor told me this week. It's not about special worship. It's not about a special environment. It's not about smoke machines. It's not about healing. It's not about all this. It's about Jesus Christ. And what do I mean about it's not about healing? You don't promote the healings. You promote the Savior. You allow the healings to come. We get the Holy Spirit. We get the miracles, which I want to see happen, not so you get a reputation, but you know that there's a King in heaven that reigns. We got to get back to Jesus. You will watch some of these big name places and you will see downfalls. I'm not predicting that. I believe it's going to happen because we can't get in the way of God's glory. Simple vision for New Covenant. Love Christ. Live Christ. And share Christ. And I know there's places I fall short and you fall short, but let God's grace touch you and motivate you. When you get afraid, when you get fearful, fear doesn't paralyze us. It means to make us pray and to move forward. Because if we're not intentionally engaged with Jesus, you are drifting away from Him slowly. Jesus tells us, we're His friend if what? We obey His commands. Don't we love that song? Israel, can't remember his last name, he used to sing, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Gosh darn it, I feel good. Are you His friend? Then you obey His commandments. But He tells me how to do stuff sexually I don't like. Then you're not His friend. But He tells me how to do stuff with my finances. I love it when people say, you know, tithing isn't in the New Testament. You got that right. Jesus tells us to give everything. Boy, our offering next week's going to be really big, Tom. When I hear that, it just shows me hearts that aren't connected with the Lord fully. You don't have to like it. As I said in home group the other night, Jesus ain't looking for attitude. How about the two sons? Hey, Joe, would you do this? Dad, I love you. I'm going to do it. Hey, Dick, would you do this? No way, old man. Joe doesn't do it. Of course, I'm favoring myself here. Dick does. Which one obeyed? The father? The one with a crappy attitude. So guess what? God isn't looking for attitude. He's looking for obedience. No, I'm not giving you permission to have a bad attitude, and you all know that. Don't play the game. It's time God is calling us to be real. The future of this church depends on our being real. On May 22nd, we're going to enter into a partnership with God for His vision at New Covenant Community Church. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. It involves River Life Fellowship. It involves you getting uncomfortable. It involves me getting uncomfortable. That's okay. We can be comfortable all we want. We just have a meeting in another year that tells us who we give this building to. Boy, that's harsh. No, it ain't harsh. That's real. We got to share Christ. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. When we love Jesus fully, we live for Him. I'm motivated to tell others about Him. I know some people who are more evangelistically gifted. That's who they are. I've used this example before with Larry Osborne. We've done some of his stuff, like Thriving in Babylon. His gifting is not being an evangelist. So he tells a story. I heard him at a conference, and he's talking. An evangelist gets on an airplane. They pray, "Lord, who you want to sit next to me? I'm going to tell him about you." He says, "I pray, Lord, let nobody sit next to me so I can stretch my legs out." Now, that doesn't mean he shouldn't tell people about the Lord. It says, I understand some people are more inclined, but God wants us, the commandment, disciple others. We need to tell people about Jesus. You need to be praying, and I've been saying this from day one. Who is that one person that you should reach out to? Invest in one person and invite them to Sunday night. I'm going to be stressed because you know what we're going to do on the 22nd? We're going to have 200 invitations. And River Life is sending a team down. And during the afternoon, we're going to go out with them. And we're going to see people. And we're going to hand them invitations to this meeting. But that makes me uncomfortable. Join a club. That ain't my personality. But I will be uncomfortable for Jesus Christ. I got to love our neighbors enough. And I have to love this city enough that we invite them and see who God brings. We've endured a lot, church, these last past years. So I understand it's easy to withdraw and to curl up into a ball and just exist. But we need to be praying for help and reaching out. And we need guidance on who do we reach out to. More than ever, it's important for us to share our faith, humility, and service. We all can think of people in your life. You know, my dad accepted the Lord 2 days before he died. You don't think I was nervous that he was going to go to hell? Yes, I was. We need to be thinking of these people to bring to these meetings. I want to say one thing. I do not think River Life Fellowship is the answer. I do not think Sunday night meetings are the answer. But I think they're what God wants us to do. And the answer is, are we going to walk in obedience to him? Or are you going to sit back and say, I'm going to let other people invite people. I'm going to take it easy. Okay. Then we may not exist. And I'm just being real with you. We need to commit to following God in obedience. You don't have to have the best attitude. You may not even want to do it. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at us following God, obeying God, doing what he has called us to do. Because the reason I exist as a pastor is to love Jesus, to live for Jesus, and to share Jesus. God is pruning his church. He's getting rid of the things that aren't focused on him. I believe I was reading Oswald Chambers this week. It's a devotional I like. I liked what he said. I mean, so many of us, and it may not have been his devotional, but we get so tied up in work that we don't have Jesus. I remember when I first started working for the church, and I went 13 nights where I was out away from my family, and I got to the end of myself, and I went to my pastor, and I said, I can't do this anymore. He goes, yeah, I know. I was just waiting for you to figure that out. I was on this committee. I was on the missions committee. I was on the committee to pick out the carpet color. I was on everything. So finally, Melody and I prayed, and the Lord said, cut everything out, but be a small group leader. Continue to do that. Busyness does not impress me anymore. Jesus impresses me. I only want to do the things that fulfill the vision. Are we loving Jesus? Are we living Jesus? Are we sharing Jesus? Having said that, I do believe in humility and service, that God will be showing us how to touch this community. But right now, our focus is we need to be in prayer. I'm going to ask you, a week from tonight, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to sing songs. We're just going to pray. I'm going to ask you to commit to that. that we set the groundwork. Because, you know, when I was a counselor at a Billy Graham crusade, I love what they told us. The three most important things you can do for these crusades is pray. Number two is pray. Number three is pray. We need to be in prayer. You need to be praying for the people that God places on your heart. One person. I want this church to grow, not so we can tell people how big we are. I want this church to grow so that we take as many people to heaven with us as we can. But think about it. If we all invite one person and some of them stick and they invite people, we can enlarge God's kingdom. I'm not here for New Covenant. I'm here for God's kingdom. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm here for New Covenant, but I'm not building our church. I'm building His church. That has to be our purpose. So the next time you read something on the news, I know most of you are conservative, it might be Fox, and you get mad, that's God telling you to pray. The next time you want to post something about, I don't care what it is, you post about Jesus. Or don't post at all. That's why evangelical Christianity is being looked down upon by unbelievers, is they think we're a bunch of people with our heads stuck in the mud that can't relate. It's healthy for us to read opposing points of view. We can't stick our head in the sand and go la, 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 la. If you watch right-wing news, watch a left-wing news. If you read a left-wing, newsletter, a right-wing, read a left one. It's not going to kill you. Jesus hung out with these people. I think we're supposed to. Some of my best friends have so opposite points of view than me. And yes, when they talk, in my mind, I am slapping the daylights out of them. But I'm cordial to them, and I am praying for them. Why? Because I know my God is faithful. And I know there's going to come a time when He's going to open the door for me to share. You know, my wife and I were talking to somebody the other day. Some of the people that give me the hardest time when things hit the fan, why do they call me? Part of me wants to say, why are you calling me? You don't even believe, idiot. Why? Because they see something that's in me. That's Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my life verse. But He said to me, first, I want to repent of something before I read that. I've been really talking about my insecurity the last few months. I feel like God said, you shut up about that. You talk about God's security. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Oh man, we're weak. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This church is going to survive, and we're going to grow. I'm just getting real with you because I want you to understand one thing. God wants you to trust Him for you. He doesn't want you to look in the mirror. He doesn't want you to say, well, I used to go to speech class. I was really overweight. They used to say, Dickie wobbles, but he doesn't fall down. You look to Jesus and say, I have called you to be this person, and you move forward in that. You don't let the past control you. And that's what's happening in this church. God is saying to you, you trust Him. But I don't like to reach out. Good, let God reach out through you. It is not my responsibility for the person's reaction. It's my responsibility to do it. The results are up to God. We have to trust Him. There is a fear and a hesitation that God is lifting off of this church. If you want to see revival, let it start in the church. Let's get committed to the Lord. Let's trust Him in the places where you think you can't. Because guess what? You can't. But He can through you. I love you guys. I really don't want any results that come from you. I don't care what your talents are. I don't care what your gifts are. I want results that come from God through you, not as a result of who you are, but as a result of who lives within you. So as a summary, love, live, and share Jesus Christ. Faith turns to the Lord when we are asked to do something unfamiliar and comfortable. The other day I'm talking to Pastor George. He goes, hey, we're coming down. We're going to do the invitations, yada, yada, yada. And I've been getting different people tell me different words. Man, God is going to stretch you, and this church is going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to be uncomfortable. And we're talking about the invitations, and I said, God, I didn't want that uncomfortableness. I wanted to be uncomfortable in a different way. But then I realized, yeah, it ain't up to me. So I'm going to do it. Years ago, we had a door-to-door ministry. I was teamed with this guy named Bill Jacquin. You may or may not remember that, over near the that side, way on the over near Brightbeck Park. So we did a prayer walk, then we started going door-to-door, and as any strong man of God did, I said, Bill, you go first. After we walked in obedience, and with the, I wanted to do the second one because I stepped past my fear and I let God. What's the worst thing that can happen when you share with somebody? They call you an idiot? Good, I've had that happen, and guess what? You go, that didn't hurt. What was I afraid of? I'd be an idiot for Jesus any day. Faith turns to God when we're asked to do something uncomfortable or familiar. And can I add the words inconvenient? Loving Jesus means trusting Jesus and living obediently. The battle belongs to the Lord. Father God, thank you. You are calling us to a new day. Lord, I know I got a little straightforward today, but I know your grace is coming. Lord, I know that you're excited for what's going to happen here. You are excited for us, for you see the victory that comes when we walk in obedience. We might be the son that goes, no way, but then we do it. Obedience trumps attitude. There's a lot of things I do, Lord. My heart is beating. I break out in a cold sweat. And I get so nervous. But I find that every single time when I step forward, you meet me. Doesn't mean all of a sudden I have all the confidence in the world. But it does bring me an inner peace that I know it's going to be okay. To obey is better than sacrifice, you tell us. You don't want actions to draw us closer to you. You want hearts that obey, that walk in obedience. Lord, we live in a society that is, I would say it's creeping away from you, but it seems like it's really full bore running away from you, Lord. And it gets me so angry. I admit, Lord, you know me, Father. You know I react when I see things on the news or on my phone. And you tell us to love our enemies. When we see people that think differently than us, Lord, they are thirsty people that need living water. You've given us that living water. Father, I pray that you would start with me, but to this whole congregation, those listening at home, that you would show us the one person to invite. We're not going to stream the Sunday night meetings, Lord, because we want people here. I don't think any one thing is the answer. I believe obedience is. I believe, Lord, this is something that you have called New Covenant Community Church to do. To sacrifice two Sunday nights a month. To have a 1 hour meeting where we worship you. Have a brief message and some time in prayer, Lord. Help us to be relevant to this community, Lord. Paul says he became all things to all people so that he might win some. Father, we have to stop doing things the way we've been doing it because that makes us comfortable. And that's how it's always been done. We need to do things the way you have called us to. We thank you, Lord. We're not going to compromise the gospel. But we're willing to change, God. We need you to breathe new life into this place. We need you to encourage us. Lord, we need to believe that your grace is indeed sufficient, but your power is made perfect in our weaknesses, Lord. Corinthians tells us, you call the foolish things of the world. When we're weak, Lord, that's such a great position to be in because it acknowledges our need for you. We don't want what man can do. We want what only God can do. Lord, I look forward to the glorious future for New Covenant Church. Lord, I pray for the places where we get fearful, we get uncomfortable, we get filled with anxiety, that we would take a step back, take a deep breath, pray to you, and then move forward, Lord God. And I do pray that you would show each family the one person they are to reach out to. And that means not just Sundays, but throughout the week. Thank you for your divine appointments, Lord God. Let us not overlook them. Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ by his shed blood at Calvary. Spirit of fear, we ain't dealing with you anymore. We're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are dealing with the all-powerful one. We thank you, Jesus. Let your name be glorified in our lives and in this place. Help us to fully love you, Christ. Help us to fully live for you. And help us to share you with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings. Have a great day.